What's up, everybody? Welcome back. It is once again Skews Day, I reckon. It's January 27th, 2026. We're recording this on Monday, January 26th at about 1:30 p.m. on the left coast. That's where we're coming to you from in time and space. Sending this missive across the digital ether in the form of another episode of Weekly Skews. I'm Trey, and that's Mark. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good, man. What do you want to talk about today?
I don't know. Not much going on. No more public executions come up lately, so...
The contradictions are so heightened, bro. I would have rather talked about this. I would have spent, in a normal, non-nightmare existence. We would have spent 20 minutes talking about how Waka Flocka Flame is going to be the keynote speaker or something at a Latino Wall Street event in Mar-a-Lago in February. What is anybody doing?
I don't know. I'm fascinated so often by it. These whole worlds and ecosystems that exist that I just am completely unaware of or whatever else. Do you know what I mean? Who goes to that? Like, what? Like, who are these people? What are they doing there? There's all this money involved, obviously. I don't know. It's crazy.
Waka's government name was Joaquin Malfers. I'd forgotten that back in 2015, he had announced he was going to run for president, even though he wasn't constitutionally eligible because he's only 30 years old, and he'd be 35. And Ric Flair was his running mate. Completely fucking memory hold that. Do you remember this at all, Trey?
No, I don't remember that at all either. I would imagine Ric Flair doesn't remember it either. if you've seen anything Ric Flair's posted in the past, well, since then, decade.
I remember one of the Ric Flair documentaries, they asked him if he was an alcoholic, and his response was, "How would I know? I never tried to stop."
Yeah. I mean, tapping my temple, you know.
Yeah, man, is a point.
Can't be unable to stop if you refuse to attempt it, you know.
Yeah. So give your guess, you're wondering, Joaquin / Waka Flocka Flame's campaign platform was for legalizing marijuana, obviously. Raising the minimum wage, and creating better trade opportunities for school students. All good. Also, his other proposals included banning dogs from restaurants, and making it illegal for people with shoe sizes above 13 to walk on public streets.
Man, I caught a real stray at the end there. Well, I'm 13 exactly. I don't know if that counts. I don't know if I'd be sent to his gulag, his hobbit feet gulags or not, that Waka Flocka's come up with. He got, like, stomped by a bunch of clowns, you know, and fucking... high school with their comically large shoes on. What's he got against people with big feet? It's funny, that took a real 180 for me, because the banning dogs in restaurants, I was like, this guy's making a lot of sense, and then he just had to come after us big-feeted Americans, so I can't support Waka Flocka, unfortunately.
I didn't know you were packing a size 13, Trey. I guess I never looked at your feet, but
my hands, well, people have said it, but I think people have also known, are your hands very large too?
No, one of my basketball handicaps besides having a short wingspan was I can't grip a grip basketball. I got fairly small hands for a man.
Because I've had people after shows say, like, you know, I think it was funny, whatever. I just had trouble paying attention because I kept getting distracted by your freakishly large hands. It's like a thing. But somebody recently in, like, the Patreon or something said that they thought they noticed that you had large hands too, and that they wanted to know whose hands were bigger. But anyway, but yeah, my hands and feet have been the same comically oversized proportion since I was like 13. Like, when I went through puberty, that was the first thing that it's like I floated out of bed one night and just like my hands and feet just got massive. I was still 5'6". So I was 5'6" with size 13. I wore Shaq shoes. Ridiculous, dude. But anyway, I'm a weirdly shaped person.
I never knew that. It's just one of your curses. You got Randy Rambo's personality and Randy Quaid's body. There you go.
Yep. Oh, what a joy. All right. Let's go ahead and get into it. Y'all know what we're going to actually be talking about, of course. What else would we be talking about? Producer Matt's back there doing his thing. And so with that said, let's begin, as always, with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Today's DD, Border Patrol dipshits who made the mistake of awakening Antifa Bad Santa. Here we go. This is in Minnesota, of course.
I'm fine. They don't even freeze anything. I'm just angry. I'm 7 years old. Angry.
Yeah, I mean, that's the temper of this moment, right?
Yeah, so in the longer unedited version of the footage of that guy, he takes a bottle of water to potentially have to wash his eyes out, walks off into the fucking tear gas. And I just got to say, that guy should not be put in this situation. And the news to be calling him a protester, we're going to get into that a little bit, but it's not fucking accurate or fair to call a guy a protester. He's got tear gas floating through his fucking yard.
Right. Right. Yeah, I know. That's kind of what I said. I made a video about this that I have not put out yet as recording this, but I'm going to right after. But I got in the whole idea of, like, the idea that, you know, it's paid protesters and Secret Antifa and George Soros and all that shit. That's what all this is, whatever. It's not real. And just, and I, you know, I said in there, it's like, it shouldn't need to be explained to y'all that regular people, like, when they see, you know, armed gangs of mass thugs rampaging through their own neighborhoods, like, mm-hmm. inciting violence and killing people and harassing school children and shit, that they get upset by that and want that to stop. Like, that doesn't make them political agitators or whatever. It just makes them, like, you know, human beings. Like, I don't understand anybody looks at this, even from 2,500 miles away like me and you are. I don't understand how anyone watches it even through a screen and is okay with it, let alone cheers it on. But especially people that are there, that actually live there. Like, mm-hmm. fuck, dude. What do you expect?
I know that we talk too much about the right-wing internet on this show, but you really can't understand anything the Trump White House is doing without understanding the right-wing internet, because they're not in the same reality the rest of us are.
Right.
They literally get their news from the craziest people on Twitter. Like, if you're not looking at Gunther Eagleman, they tweet Gunther Eagleman tweets. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the president's daily national security briefing.
Right.
And what Gunther Eagleman is tweeting all weekend was that... people in Minnesota are filming, like, the community setups they have, and, like, people are showing up to, like, these protests or no-go zones. They're blocking off the streets of trash cans and stuff to block the Border Patrol vehicles. And they people break coffee and, like, donuts and shit.
Right.
And he's like, this is a professional operation. This is a professional quality ingredient. It's like jugs of milk for potential tear gas to wash your eyes out. And I'm like, this is just...
thinking ahead, like planning. It's just planning shit. It's like, it's the same thing as, like, fucking, I don't know if there's, like, some sort of cheer meet or neighborhood jamboree or something, and the moms are like, hey, pitch in and I'll bring yeah. chips, you bring Capri Suns, you bring whatever. It's like, this is just what fucking people do when you gather. You're gonna be there. You fucking, if you're not an idiot, you plan for shit and bring things that, you know, people like.
Yeah,
food,
but
refreshments.
Whatever. What they're calling paid protesters are people that just have the resources to take a minivan and make a Costco run.
Exactly. You know, and they also they've confiscated some Antifa person's phone and a signal chat, or they infiltrated a signal chat or whatever, and it's going through, and it's like, look, this is proof that it's an organized operation, clandestine, all this stuff, because people are, like, sharing information about ICE activities in their neighborhoods and stuff, and vehicles are driving and shit. It's like, again, that's just prudent. Like, that's not, yeah. that's just keeping everybody, that's the same type of shit that happened. My wife sent me a text earlier from a Facebook group she's in for our neighborhood where we live, because I guess something's going down at one of the schools, nothing truly insane, but something happened at one of the middle schools today, not the one my sons are at, but, like, people are posting about it in the group that they all share, because it, like, affects everyone, and so it's like, that's not Antifa stuff. Again, that's just what you do. It's all very natural, and, like, I don't know.
But that's sort of what I'm getting at. Is when they're talking about, like, this being professional grade supplies for Antifa or whatever, it's just like, you realize, oh, these people have never been to a pot, like, they're not familiar with the idea of a potluck, or, like,
right.
the kind of spread like a mom would set up after a fucking soccer game.
Right.
They don't have any sense of community. These guys that, like, idolized the 1950s because they want a high trust community society are literally just not getting off their computer to go outside and participate in it, because it does exist.
Mm-hmm.
They're just fucking lonely psychos who spend 23 hours a day on the internet giving information and takes to the White House, who then act upon them, because they're the same fucking internet psychos. Trump is kind of has the most accurate understanding of the political reality of them, because he also watches cable television. Now, I want to understand how fucking sick that is. Like, he will actually see somebody who disagrees with them occasionally because of the stupid fucking embrace debate format of these shows. So he at least is aware that there are people pushing back on stuff. And when he sees, like, I don't know, one of the CNN talking heads or the lady on the Five or on Fox, like, make a good point. It's like, oh, fuck, I'm losing this battle. So anyway, Bovino might be pulling out of Minnesota tomorrow, Greg Bovino and Border Patrol. So our manufactured national nightmare might be temporarily over until something else fucking happens to drive them insane.
But isn't he now sending Homan there? And what's that? Is he supposed to de-escalate or something, or fix it?
By the standards of such things, Homan is one of the sane ones.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. So I just want to take stock of how silly this all is here, because this has mostly been Border Patrol's fuck up. It's actually head of Border Patrol, Greg Bovino, has been running all this whole operation in Minneapolis. Reportedly, if you believe it, because the head of ICE kind of disagrees with the way Kristi Noem and Corey Lewandowski want to do it real loud and flashy. But, Border Patrol's fuck-up is going to get ICE abolished.
Mm-hmm.
Because fuck ICE is a cooler, shorter slogan than fuck Border Patrol, and ICE's brand is just in the trash. And I saw, there's a story in fucking the New York Times this morning where insider ICE is like, we've completely lost the public trust. We probably won't exist in 3 years. That ICE official has more faith in our government to change things to try to make life better for American citizens than I do. I'll just put it that way. All right. Do you want to talk about the shooting for a second itself? Because we're not going to show the video. I don't fucking want to, but I've seen all five or six or whatever. And because the way these things work, we talked about the last one, Renee Good, I'll get the Pruder phone, but these things always break down. We're all separately watching Paul Blart Mall Cop like it was a Rochambeau phone.
Right.
What did you see when you saw it, Trey? Did you watch it?
Yeah. I mean, he seemed, he was trying to help or assist the lady who got shoved by the ICE guys. They both got pepper sprayed. He had his phone in his hand. They got tackled. They jumped on top of him. They seemed to have him under control to me. And then they just shot him. And then he had a gun, but he didn't pull the gun or anything. At least that's my understanding, and I certainly didn't see him pull a gun, and it was a registered firearm and all that. So that's my perspective of it.
It seems clear to me that he didn't initiate didn't initiate the confrontation. He didn't hit them. He didn't brandish his gun. They tackled him, beat him, disarmed him, then shot him. While he was on his knees with at least one hand on the ground, they had already taken his gun away, and a guy had taken it to a truck. All right, it was on his way to take it to a truck. And then one of the cops clapped after Pretty was killed. One of the Border Patrol guys.
And apparently, just like with Renee Good, a doctor showed up, or at least someone has since come forward saying they're a doctor and they live there, and that they tried to offer medical assistance and was not allowed to for a while, and then finally were, and then it was too late or whatever. The Border Patrol guys just sat there while he bled out.
Yeah, let me quote from the court filing that quotes the doctor, who is a pediatrician, I believe. As I approached, I saw the victim was lying on his side and was surrounded by several agents. I was confused as to why the victim was on his side, because that's not standard practice when a victim has been shot. Checking for a pulse and administering CPR is standard practice. Instead of doing either of those things, ICE agents appeared to be counting his bullet wounds. So I'm not sure why they do that, because he was shot once. He was clear. The guy shot him in the back of the head, it looks like, in the video. He was dead, and then him and at least one other agent pumped another 9 rounds into him. Got a sympathetic fire just to make sure he was dead. The tragic farce of this, we did an episode late the fourth quarter last year, I forget. We spent a long time talking about the controversy around the Sig Sauer P320 handgun.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
All right, and at the time I thought, I was like, well, I'm interested in this. It's kind of an interesting example of like the failures of American capitalism and the state capture of the government, because a bunch of cops, police agencies had standard issue this gun that goes off by itself and shoots cops in the leg. And then when police agencies tried to stop using it and move away from it, Sig Sauer sued them to force them to use their weapon and try to, I think it was wherever they're based, Ohio, I think, had the state house try to give them immunity from lawsuits for all the people they're getting shot with a dysfunctional firing mechanism, right? We're not usually a gun tube kind of show, but I just thought that was interesting. Anyway, Pretty's gun was a Sig Sauer P320, and when they took it off of him, it looks like it goes off and fires in the pavement while he's walking away, while one of the guys is yelling "gun," because it's standard procedure. You say "gun," make them go. There's a gun involved in the situation where you're taking it away, and then the gun goes off. And I think that's probably why the guy pulled his gun and shot. Because he heard a gunshot and fucking panicked. So a lot of American failures baked into this situation. Corporate regulation, like capitalism, regulatory capture, and then police, you know, malfeasance, lack of training, scared dipshits being deployed in ways they're not meant to be used. It's just like this is the sum of all fucking failures all at one time. Anyway, good luck to Sig Sauer, because Trump gave a press availability yesterday where he called Freddy's firearm, quote, dangerous and unpredictable, adding, it's a gun that goes off and people don't know it. So, Sig Sauer, you dug your own grave there, buddy. The cops tried to arrest all the witnesses, which is how you know that they definitely acted honorably here. Also, just this small world we got going on here. When they shot Renee Good, the doctor that tried to help her, it wasn't allowed to. Do you remember that?
Yes, right, yeah.
Worked with Alex Pretty at the VA hospital.
Oh, wow. I did not know that part.
Yeah. So all the people's lives have been irrevocably altered by this fucking 3-week ICE occupation. It's fucking crazy, man.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You made that point last time about how, like, this is like a place that people live, and that's what we're saying. People there are being affected by it every day, and they're fucking, you know, I'm sure, stressed out over it, to say the least, and want it to end, you know.
Like, I can't, like it's hard to, like, convey, and I would read, there's lots of, Minnesota Star Tribune's been great about this. I think they've taken a lot of stuff about behind the paywall. Like, interview people with lives like that right now. Basically, everyone of color hasn't gone outside in weeks.
Right.
And even if you're, like, a straight white guy like me, if you just run out and grab a sandwich, you got to go through 3 checkpoints where they scan your face into one of their fucking psychopathic databases and watch a bunch of people get kidnapped and drive your car around. Cars are left empty just sitting there because they kidnapped the fucking people in them. And the national media has done an awful job of describing this to the point where, like I know that, like, anybody knows the old, you've seen a bunch of Orwell quotes floating around lately, but, you know, the truth is the first casualty in war, right? Kind of thing. People are just using straightforward vocabulary words in ways that are misleading. For one, calling this a law enforcement action is crazy.
Right.
ICE is barely law enforcement. There's supposed to be somewhere between like a mall cop and like a park ranger. They're not supposed to be like violent. But Border Patrol is not supposed to be hundreds of miles from the fucking border deployed in an urban environment. Right. This is all insane. And the state had they call this a law enforcement operation. When after Pretty was killed, the state got a warrant signed by a judge to investigate the scene as a murder, and the feds would not let them onto the scene so they could keep destroying evidence. And we're still calling this law enforcement.
I think it depends on the context, because if it's immediately followed by. If you call a law enforcement if you call them law enforcement agents or whatever, and it's immediately followed by executed a man in the street or whatever, then it's, do you know what I mean? The contrast, it sounds even more fucked up. I'm not going to say even more fucked up. It sounds as fucked up as it is. But you understand what I'm saying? I feel like if you're like sane washing it by just talking about, they're just simply trying to execute a law enforcement operation, then... Yeah, that feels disingenuous, but pointing out that ostensibly these are people meant to enforce the law who are
breaking it.
Yeah, right. That, you know, so, you know, anyway.
You're watching it like this is not like some small-scale law-breaking operation. One reporter counted 2,300 cases since July in which federal judges have ruled that ICE is illegally detaining people without bond or due process. There's a word for that. It's called kidnapping. 2,300 kidnappings done by federal agents since July. Let me quote here a judge's ruling based on one of these cases, and I want you to listen to the frustration in the judge's voice and what this judge is describing. Thus, it appears that respondents, meaning the government, arrested a chronically ill 70-year-old woman who came to this country to avoid religious persecution and applied for asylum, who has lived here peacefully for 26 years and complied with all check-in requirements and other conditions of release, who has no known criminal record and poses no threat to anyone, without notice or without process required by their own regulations, without any plan for removing her from the country, then kept her in detention for months without sufficient medical care. And they do not have any argument to offer or even try to justify these actions. Furthermore, having acknowledged that they have no opposition to present to petitioner's habeas corpus petition, they have they voluntarily released her? No. Thus, she remains in custody, and her counsel and the court are required to expend resources and effort to address the matter that respondents either cannot or be bothered to defend or realize is indefensible. So they took this woman for no reason. They asked, the courts asked why they took her. Like, we don't know. We let her loose? No. Where is she? I don't know. Why won't you let her loose? I don't know. And we're calling them law enforcement? What the fuck is going on here?
Right.
And that's that.
But that's just how they like get to act. You know, again, people are supposed to be able to in places to enforce things like this. They just get like shrugged off under Trump and the Trump administration. There's like, yeah. Oh, really? Oh, well, whatever. Fuck you. They just keep doing it, you know. So then what?
Yeah. Another word everyone keeps using super credulously, even if it has nothing to do with it. He calling this an immigration enforcement operation. No, it's fucking not. They've caught a few immigrants among the thousands of people they've injured or detained, but most of them they caught have been all people who are here legally or citizens, and they killed two citizens. And Pam Bondi put out a threat statement late last week that they would leave if the state of Minnesota would just hand over their voting roll data.
Yeah,
so they're there to do immigration enforcement to blackmail and handing over voter roll data. Which one is it?
What is that about, by the way? The vote, like, is their position saying like, because we know you're committing voter fraud and we're asserting that you won't prove it by handing it over. Hand it over and we'll leave, you know? Yeah, but you won't do it, will you? Because you know you're committing voter fraud. Like, that's their
right.
position.
Trump keeps saying he actually won Minnesota three times, even though he lost it three times. And that's one of the main reasons they're there. Like, I'm sure somebody who ever pitched him on this idea is like, well, the Somali welfare fraud is also akin to They're paying the Somalians welfare money to get them to vote against you. It's part of a rigged election system to, like, you know, whatever.
Right.
And how have they sell fucking Trump on shit? But so anyway, so it, again, that's one strike against it being immigration enforcement. And then today, the guy that was running for governor on the Republican ticket, and I don't know, to remember the context here, Tim Walz dropped out of running for a third term because the welfare scandal was proving too big of a distraction. So the race was at least closer neck and neck. And now the leading Republican candidate, a guy named Chris Madel, I guess, M-A-D-E-L, has dropped out of the race and says he can't support federal retribution against Minnesota or the National Party anymore. So is it immigration enforcement when one of the state's leading Republicans is calling it just retribution against the voters of Minnesota? And by the way, this is a guy, Chris Madel's a lawyer, who volunteered to represent Jonathan Ross for killing Renee Good 3 weeks ago. That's how much worse the Alex Pretty shooting is than even Renee Good's shooting.
Right.
In other words, we talked about it with the fucking the 70-year-old guy screaming in the mic we started this segment with, but like, protester. The word protester is being used completely incorrectly or inaccurately. Alex Pretty was not protesting. He was not. He was not advocating anything. He was following ICE agents around and recording them on his phone. He's a legal observer. We're talking about a situation where Congress people are being turned away from detention facilities. Federal officers are acting like they're above the law. J.D. Vance has said they have complete immunity. And literally the only people watching for any kind of oversight at all are the people with cell phones.
Right.
We're supposed to be a democracy. If no one else is going to do it, left it to Alex fucking Pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So stop calling them protesters. That's not what they're doing. They're doing their civic duty as fucking as citizens of a republic, trying to hold their government accountable because no one else is going to do it.
They're lucky if they call them protesters. Call them domestic terrorists, you know.
That's a good analogy because like the logic is, I remember reading an essay like last year about how the word terrorist is so overused that like the definition of terrorist follows the bullet.
Mm-hmm.
If you get shot, you become a terrorist retroactively. Just like if you get beat during an ICE operation, you're not someone they can deport, you become a protester.
Right.
And therefore your beating was justified the same way a terrorist murder was justified by the fact they were murdered.
Right.
It's all catch-22 word games here. Like last week, this is off topic, but like a CBS freelance cameraman was killed in Gaza and the Israeli government said, oh, well, they're with Hamas. He's a Hamas cameraman. And CBS News reported he was Hamas affiliated. I'm like, he's your fucking employee. What are you doing? Like, anyway, tell me who is not a protester. This guy being interviewed on the news, he's talking about his background. He's an HOA president who works in organized mortgage applications for Wells Fargo. And the place interaction with this reporter.
How long will you stay out here? my balls get cold. Just till it gets too cold.
My balls get cold. They got guys working Wells Fargo out there till their balls get cold, and acting like they're paid agitators for Antifa. This fucking thing just drives me absolutely insane. Like these people will not accept reality. They're just hated and disliked, and people politically oppose them.
Right. Yeah, I know. That's what I was saying. They have to rationalize it into, they're all whatever, paid protesters, agitators, fucking, Antifa, whatever. Because like you said, they in their minds, they're right about everything, and everyone who's sane and good agrees with them. And so if you don't, then something else must be going on.
Any resistance to them is organized and part of a conspiracy. Like, literally any. Like, here's an example. Like, Saturday night, a couple federal agents or contractors were eating at an Indian restaurant. And when people in the restaurant, noticed they were with the federal government, and they felt vaguely disapproved of.
Right.
People were eye-rolling or pointing or making fun of them or whatever with the whispering. But they called BORTAC, the Border Patrol Tactical Unit, and they came to the restaurant and walked around threatening everyone with tear gas containers. Because the people that were at the Indian restaurant, when they came in to eat, must be part of an organized conspiracy to fucking make their meal less pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I would not be eating at any sort of ethnic restaurant if I was
with an ice badge on. That's crazy, dude.
Hope you enjoyed your fucking chicka tikka shit masala.
Yeah, no shit.
Every part of this is based upon lies based upon lies based upon lies. Like, we talked, me and Drew talked last week about ICE raided a guy's house and detained a Hmong guy who'd been here since the 70s, who was an American citizen. And then, they dragged him out of the house in his underwear into the freezing cold Minnesota, weather. And realized he was a citizen about an hour later and let him go. And when people were like, hey, this sucks, you're like, oh, we were after sex offenders. What, you guys like child molesting? You guys want to defend child molesters? Because they were trying to say they were looking for child molesters, which this guy wasn't one. So the fact you got the wrong guy seems to be at least relevant to the story. And their basic defense was like, well, the guy we were looking for was a child molester who was also Asian and they all look alike. That's kind of their fucking defense.
Right.
But also it gets even dumber than that, because the guy they were looking for was already in prison for some criminal charge. So when they got caught looking stupid because they didn't even look to see if the guy was in fucking prison for raiding an unrelated house, they're like, oh, well, the state government of Minnesota refuses to turn these people over, which is not true. The state prisons turn them over routinely. They just didn't go look.
Right.
So they escalated a dangerous situation. They could have killed the citizen guy. Like, yeah. It's just all fucking...
I know, and they're completely unapologetic about it and act like it's everybody else's fault when it's like it should be the opposite. Like, that, anything like remotely like that should not be tolerated in the world of law enforcement. Like, a person being harassed because, oh, well, we thought he was this guy who was dangerous, but that guy's locked up and it kind of looked the same and we didn't have time to check. And then the idea that people would hear that and be like, oh, well, that's totally understandable, is insane to me. Cause it's like, no, that should be like a zero tolerance policy type of situation. And I always think that there was a bit Chris Rock had in one of his later specials, like Tambourine or something. He was talking about cops, but it applies. Talking about, the idea of bad apples and all this stuff, or, they just fuck up sometimes. He's like, yeah, look, I hear you, but listen, some professions are just not allowed to have bad apples or fuck up like that. He was like, if Delta Airlines told you 92% of our pilots are great and they love to land safely and do all the right stuff, it's just like 8% of bad apples, that fucking fly into buildings and, crash and stuff like that, and you'll just have that sort of thing. He's like, no one would stand for that, right? Like, it would fold immediately. You wouldn't put up with that shit. He was like, not all professions are the same. There are higher standards for some things, or at least there should be. And law enforcement should be one of those things, but it's the fucking opposite. It's the most incompetent people who get away with everything because they have, carte blanche for reasons that are beyond me. Because if you try to criticize them, you want the streets running wild with sex offenders and drug dealers, apparently. Like, it's just also disingenuous and stupid.
Yeah, and the operation that it led to Preddy's death was also based upon, they tried to retroactively justify it with lies, which we'll get to that on the other side of this break. We'll be right back in a second.
All right, y'all. This episode of Weekly Skews is brought to you by Ridge Wallets. Ridge, let me tell you what. I got wallet figured out. Look at that. Look how fancy, futuristic. It looks like RoboCop's wallet, don't it? or a Transformers wallet, something like that. Not your papa's wallet. Not my old wallet either. My old wallet was one of them thick leather bricks I'd had for 24 years, you know, giving me back problems from sitting all slanted because it was all fat. Don't worry about that part. But anyway, yeah, now the Ridge wallet, slim, clean, modern, holds up to 12 cards plus cash without turning into a pocket tumor. Ridge wallets are made from premium materials like aluminum, titanium, and carbon fiber, so it feels like something designed in this century. They've got over 50 different colors and style options, and they've got RFID blocking technology, which gives you a little peace of mind knowing that random weirdos can't digitally pickpocket you while you're just standing there minding your own business. Ridge has over 100,000 five-star reviews, and you can join them. You get 10% off by heading to ridge.com and use the promo code SKU at checkout. That's ridge.com, promo code SKEW, SKU. All right, Ridge now has AirTag attachments for their wallet, so you can know where your wallet is before the panic mode kicks in. They do a lot of other things, too, key cases, travel gear, rings. They've got this is a charging bank that they offer, highly versatile, very mobile. I only have this right now because I stole it back from my wife. As soon as I got mine, she took it away from me. She loves this thing. I love it too, but she confiscated it, and we all know how that goes. Everything they have ships free, comes with a 99-day risk-free trial, and every Ridge product has a lifetime warranty. This is the last wallet you'll ever have to buy. For a limited time, our listeners get 10% off at Ridge by using the code SKU. At checkout, just head to ridge.com and use the promo code SKU, S-K-E-W, at ridge.com, and you're all set. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, support our show, and tell them that SKUs sent you. Ridge, upgrade your wallet game. All right, this week's episode of Weekly SKUs is brought to you by ZBiotics. January, new year. Got to focus on a little small shift in your life. Try to think ways you can improve your life, you know, and ways that are manageable. Just do better in the future. And that don't have to mean like not drinking. You can still have a good time. Drink responsibly. Be an adult. That's fine. But avoid those next days. As we're pushing 40 like I am, it gets harder and harder to recover the next day. But not anymore with ZBiotics. Now, all you do, you take ZBiotics pre-alcohol before you start drinking, and you don't have to choose between a fun night and actually being functional the next day. All right? You're busy, you're getting older, you got to have something easy to do that allows you to still have fun, so you plan ahead and take ZBiotics pre-alcohol before your first drink, and you're set. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic invented by PhD scientists to tackle those rough mornings after drinking. So when you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's a buildup of that byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. All right, pre-alcohol produces an enzyme that breaks that byproduct down and mitigate some of the effects. Just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll be at your best the next day. All right. I've tried this before. I've not just tried it. I do it all the time. As long as I've got some ZBiotics, if I'm going to be drinking, I take a ZBiotic because I know that it makes me feel better the next day. Something approaching a functional human being. So if you're ready to try it, go to ZBiotics.com/SKU. Now, ZBiotics, the letter Z, biotics.com/SKEW, ZBiotics.com/SKU. You get 15% off your first order when you use the promo code SKU, S-K-E-W, SKU, at checkout. Backed by 100% money-back guarantee, so there's no risk whatsoever. Subscriptions are available for maximum consistency. Head to ZBiotics.com/SKU and use the promo code SKU at checkout for 15% off. This episode is also brought to you by BetterHelp. Been thinking a lot about all the stuff you carry around with us. You don't have to, you know. Pressure to have everything figured out, fear of messing up, feeling like you should be doing more, doing better. The stress associated with, you know, the collapse of society. A lot of stresses. That's where therapy can really help. All right. Take it from me. Having someone who's outside of your life, your personal life, someone with a professional, unbiased perspective helps you. They can help you identify what it is weighing you down, patterns you're stuck in, what's worth letting go of, what's worth digging into. All right. Therapy isn't about fixing who you are. It's about understanding yourself better so you can move forward with a little more clarity and a lot less weight on them there shoulders. BetterHelp makes that whole process easier. BetterHelp's therapists are fully licensed in the U.S. and follow a strict code of conduct, which matters when you're opening up about real things. They do the hard part up front by matching you with a therapist based on a short questionnaire you will fill out so you can focus on your goals instead of searching endlessly for the right fit. And if it turns out to not be a match, you can switch therapists anytime you want without any awkward conversations whatsoever. Keep going till you get it right. It won't take long with the stable they're working with over there at BetterHelp. BetterHelp is one of the largest online therapy platforms in the world, with over 30,000 therapists and more than 5 million people served globally, and it works. Live sessions average a 4.9 out of 5 rating, and that's based over 1.7 million client reviews. That's some robust statistics there, y'all. If you've been thinking about letting go of fear, pressure, perfection, or whatever has been quietly holding you back, this is a good place to start. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/skews. That's BETTERHELP, betterhelp.com/SKEWS, skews. betterhelp.com/skews, 10% off at sign up today. BetterHelp. Help yourself.
El Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
Say big on home updates at Menards. Transform your floors and walls with stylish Mohawk porcelain tile. 12 by 24 inch urban forge tiles combine a bold modern look with the timeless beauty of natural stone for a stunning result. Plus, they feature StepSure, an advanced slip-resistant technology providing safety without compromising style. Save big money on Mohawk porcelain tile. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Okay, we're back, everybody. Thanks for sticking around. Go ahead, Mark.
All right, so after they killed Alex Pretty, So for context, the Minnesota's Department of Corrections had to put up a whole new website to try to debunk all of like the federal government's lies about the stuff going on. Because like Trump gave a press conference last week to try to justify the existence of this operation, but like he went out there and showed a bunch of mugshots of people, of criminals that they'd taken off the streets with these raids and shit. But those are pictures and mugshots of people that have been handed over from Minnesota prisons. So like they have nothing to do with operation whatever they're calling this, something surge. So after they killed Alex Pretty, they said that what they were trying to do was to find an individual named Jose Huerta Chuma, and they characterized him as having a significant criminal history. But based on Department of Corrections records and publicly available Minnesota court data, the individual identified by federal officials has never been in DOC custody. DOC and court records show no felony commitments associated with this. Public Minnesota court records reflect only misdemeanor-level traffic offenses from more than a decade ago, and the individual is not currently under DOC supervision. So you got there saying as a major criminal, that's why they launched this operation to end up with Alex Pretty being killed. As far as anyone could tell, they're treating like as a hardened criminal, member of MS-13 or whatever. He had traffic offenses from 2013 or something.
Right. See, to me, even if he was some kingpin motherfucker or whatever, even if that was true, it wouldn't be worth all this. Like, no. And who would think that it is? Who on either side, with any kind of rationality, would think that it's worth all the shit that's happened, even if he was fucking Minnesota, bro. El Chapo, or whatever. Like,
but
there's other ways.
El Chapo, Jeffrey Dahmer, rolled into one could be in downtown Minneapolis. It would not justify dropping a Moab on it.
Right.
Like, dude, there's better ways to fucking do this.
Right.
And the lie that's all based on, which is that every Somali daycare is fake or something, that was based upon an even stupider lie. Someone missed this story from December 29th that debunked all the reporting that led to two people being dead and all these people being fucking deported for no reason. Key source that says story prompted Trump that Trump tirade against Somalis is erroneous. So, Nick, what's his name? I forgot. I can't remember the guy's
name. Shirley?
Yeah, Nick Shirley, the dipshit YouTuber that went there. He went there. I missed this because of a report in a conservative newspaper that they published an explosive claim that Al-Shabaab, an Islamic terrorist group active in Somalia, was being funded by millions of dollars stolen from Minnesota taxpayers. But a core source for the article now calls the story bullshit and claims he was misquoted. Another person cited in the piece is distancing himself from the reporting. And retired Seattle detective Glenn Kearns, the only named person in the City Journal article who connects Minnesota Somali fraud with terrorism, which is the core premise of the story, said he never traveled to Minnesota to investigate the connection in the first place, as the piece claims. They made it up. Nick Shirley ran with it. The White House saw it and believed it, because of fear on the right-wing internet, And now they sent 3,000 Border Patrol agents and whatever federal agents into Minnesota, and two people are dead.
Right. And now they are, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say they. I just saw some right-wing dipshit, I don't remember which one, and it had some retweets or whatever, but who knows how many of them are running with this. But it's basically saying, like, doing their, like, aren't I so clever thing, where they were like, anyone notice that no one's even talking about all the fraud anymore, are they? Anybody notice that? That's interesting, isn't it? It's like, all of a sudden, no one even cares about Somali fraud because of this. It's like, okay, but this only even happened because of your outsized response to ostensible Somali fraud in the first place. So if someone's like doing some sort of weird false flag thing to get that out of, you know, the media coverage, it's y'all. You know, like, so how is that, how does any of this supposed to make any sense? But people just fucking say stuff.
But, well, yeah, but also the federal prosecutor who was responsible for investigating the Somali fraud, who had obtained a bunch of convictions related to the case, which is, we already talked about, is not majority Somalians, but whatever, like, that guy resigned because he wouldn't let him investigate the Renee Good shooting. Like, all these people, like, they could have had everything they wanted, but they can't manage it. They can't fucking right. manage it. Like, if you wanted to run a functioning fucking authoritarian regime in this country, you would have arrested the guy that killed Alex Preddy. You would have arrested the guy that killed Renee Good, because they're fucking up your plans, not mine.
Right.
Like, the difference between, I don't get into it. So they... like, the political response to this, there's no use pointing out hypocrisy anymore because nobody really believes in it. But the way the NRA fucking handled this is amazing to me, because they try to ride the line between saying, like, the government's like, well, said, well, he basically, Alex Preddy's death was justified because he was carrying a gun
right.
while protesting, which he wasn't, whatever. So, and the NRA is like, well, obviously you can't execute people just for having a gun, but people need to have more respect for law enforcement. Federal, the right-wing psycho is saying we need more respect for federal law enforcement. I just, like, do you guys remember that your origin story is that killing that Weaver lady at Ruby Ridge, and then the Branch Davidians at Waco? I've lost track, but, like, it blew my mind, because back when Obama was elected, I was still living in Texas. And I was starting to do comedy on the road more. And my girlfriend at the time wanted to get a gun to have in the house because I was going to be gone a lot. We ended up not getting it, whatever. But, like, we went to the gun range / gun store to buy it. And the guy was trying to upsell us on getting as many guns and ammunition as possible because President Obama was going to make guns illegal.
Yeah, I remember that happening just, like, went around where I was at the time. People, like, bought out all the stock of, like, a lot of gun stores and shipped their ammunition and stuff in the area right. I was in, because Obama was about to come and take them all.
Yeah. Anytime there's sort of any possible movement on gun control, gun stocks and shoot way up, and because people, like, stock up, you know? And I'm thinking about that in the current environment. The NRA, when I was a kid, we talked about this before, was a sportsman's rights organization when my dad was a member. Basically, what's happened is they went from being a membership advocacy group to being an industry advocacy group, because there's more money in that and catering to the gun companies. So they don't represent the average sportsman anymore. They represent the 1% of people who own 90% of the guns, the guys who mm-hmm. have 20 guns. Right now, libs are tooling up because they're afraid of fellow overreach. And right now, the NRA, which represents gun companies, is literally throwing away billions of dollars from all the people that are getting into guns right now because they're scared, because they're fucking pissed off about Trump, to suck Trump's dick. I can't wrap my mind around it. They give away free money.
Right. I know. Well, we've said for a while about how, like, from a business perspective, so many of the positions have not made sense to me as far as Trump goes over the, like, this. He's bad for business. He's bad for money. He's bad for all this stuff in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And yet people, you know, bend the knee, kiss the ring for whatever fucking reason. They've gotten too entrenched in tribalism and whatever else. I don't know, but... Yeah, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
And they're like, oh, well, I've seen the dumbest takes is like, oh, well, liberals support the Second Amendment now. Who knew? It's like, well, you guys won.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hope for gun control. There's no hope. So, like, what do you want? Like, you want a world where everybody can have a gun, but only you have them?
Right. I mean, yes, that is what they want.
Right. So, Like, Christy Noem was like, I don't know any peaceful protester that shows up armed and with ammunition. But where were you? Like, was it? I understand that, like, they think they can lie their way out of anything. But, like, we were all alive in 2020 when everyone was taking guns to protests.
Also, I'm sure there's some great quotes she's got on Kyle Rittenhouse, I would imagine, you know. And
bro,
how he was a hero, and thank God he was there and everything. I'm just assuming that that's her stance.
Cash Patel was doing the same shit about how no one should take guns to protest. Cash Patel went on neo-Nazi Stu Peters' podcast to do a fundraiser for Kyle Rittenhouse.
Right.
I try to be intellectually consistent. As much as I thought when Kyle Rittenhouse got let off, we talked on this show about how, like, every choice Kyle Rittenhouse made was stupid, if I was on the jury, I would have voted to acquit too, because under the laws as written, he was defending himself.
Yes, right, yeah.
Like, we should write the laws differently. but this is the world you guys wanted. Then Cash Patel said, like, the fact that Alex Pretty had a second magazine, like, is proof that he was up to no good. It's like, what fucking planet? Use a brain. Like, so the Second Amendment says you can carry a gun, but doesn't include the right to reload.
Right.
Like, I am with you. There is no justifiable reason why anyone open carrying in their day to day would need a second magazine of ammunition. There's also no reason anyone would need a clip that holds 30 rounds, which is like an easy gun control fix we could do. But that's not the world we live in.
They won't hear it. Yeah. Right.
Right. So it like. Usually the only people you can trust to be remotely intellectually consistent are libertarians. But Rand Paul's chief of staff over the weekend was arguing people online. It's like, let me quote here, his name is Doug Stafford. Excuse me, but what the fuck borders in Minneapolis, and when did it become illegal to carry a gun in America? Anyway, he kept that up for like 5 minutes, then deleted it, because he eventually cowardice wins out even with libertarians. So... to talk about Pretty for a second, how bad they fucked up. They appeared to have executed one of the most unassailable people walking around in America.
Right. Well, especially, yes, period, but especially, like, from their, like, perspective, even. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's, like, everything about him, is, like, made in a lab to appeal to these people. He should be their guy. Something I said in the video is, if the right had any integrity, they'd already have a statue commissioned to this dude. But instead, they're calling him a domestic terrorist who deserved it, you know, fucking dragging his name through the mud and shit. When it's like, he did everything right by your standards in any way you slice it. Like, what? I don't know.
Literally, all he did was put his body between a woman that a Border Patrol agent was trying to beat up.
Right.
He just stood between
them. A defenseless woman and the agent of a tyrannical government.
Right? Uh-huh.
While, you know, fucking... being a 2A supporter, dedicated his life to supporting the troops, you know, white man, fucking just good guy, helped others, all that shit, like red-blooded all-American, you know, and they're like, so, yeah, fuck this guy. It's insane.
A guy named Mac Randolph posted this on Facebook, I believe. Said, RIP Alex Pretty. He was my dad's ICU nurse. He read my dad's final salute at the UVA after he passed away. Never want to share this video, but his speech is very on point. Also, my father's final words to me was to continue to fight the good fight. He'll be honored in Alex's sacrifice and shamed with this current administration. In my dad's words, I encourage you all to continue to fight the good fight. Now, I don't want to show the video because it's maudlin, but it's pretty touching. Alex speaks over this dead veteran's body and talks about how, you know, freedom and free. He used that usual sort of thing, and he walked the walk. Back to the fucking farcical nature of this. The fact that they can think that a federal government as small as ours outside of the national defense space can bully everyone at once seems to be like the idea you guys won. This country's basically ungovernable because of austerity. And you're trying to establish an authoritarian regime with, like, paper clips and glue and shit. And so all you got is bullying people. I don't want to watch this clip of Greg Bovino from a press conference yesterday. If you got this clip, man.
Calling law enforcement names like Gestapo or using the term kidnapping. That is a choice that is made. There are actions and consequences.
Okay. Can you rewind it and play it from the beginning again? I want you to listen to how he says Gestapo.
calling law enforcement names like Gestapo.
All right.
Or using the
term- he says we shouldn't call them Nazis while pronouncing Gestapo in the German.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Gestapo. Like, yeah. This fucking guy, Generalissimo Bovino, the fact he, like, think about this for a second. What is the head of Border Patrol doing in the field in uniform? That's mm-hmm. a desk job.
Right.
He's 5'3", running around, trying to intimidate people with a security detail he seems to handpick to be shorter than him. Has yeah. to guard the door while he takes a shit in the Target bathroom. And then I don't know how he thinks the rest of his life's going to be, but have you seen the origin of his family? Because his family's Italian. He's from North Carolina. His whole family came here illegally, basically. And like according to his own policies, they'd be deporting his grandfather, while the people that worked for him called his grandfather a greaser wop, and administration went on the news and talked about how Italians are prone to like knife crime because they're small brain pans.
Yeah.
And he's just gleefully being a part of it.
Right. Well, yeah, pulling that ladder, buddy. It's a time-honored tradition on the American right. But even that thing that he, like that, I mean, that's fucked up, man. I know that's why you picked it. That's why you played it. But it's like, I mean, what is the underlying message of that or the implication there? It's like,
words
if
are violence,
you call
right?
us names, mm-hmm. we might kill you, and you mm-hmm. will deserve it. Like, literally, that's all I heard him say, they call it, call him Gestapo. Use words like kidnapping. And it's like, hey, words are hurtful, all right? Mm. And by the way, if you use hurtful words, we'll shoot you to death. That could happen, and it will be your own fault. Like, it's just insanity.
Yeah. All they have to do is cry bullying. Like, it's like I would think if they thought they could intimidate people, because they killed Rene Good, more people got in the streets. They killed fucking Alex Preti, and more people got involved. And I think the idea you can intimidate your way around this problem is sort of like, if the ship seems to have sailed. Watch this video from over the weekend after Pretty was killed, Trey. Alright. We're not moving. Now, later on in that video, the National Guard comes and shoes them out of the way and let the vehicle pass to make sure nobody according to Tim Walz, the National Guard's there to de-escalate the situation, which I'm not sure what I would do if I was the governor of Minnesota. But, like, the National Guard's wearing yellow vests to distinguish them between other forces.
Yeah.
And is it a good sign when you're competing state defense apparatuses are wearing different uniforms so the citizens know who's on what side?
Right. Yeah, I know. But yeah, they're out there. I mean, the thing I saw anyway was that they've got donuts and coffee and shit, don't they? And wearing the yellow vest and all that stuff. Like, yeah. It's very much a, contrasting vision of what that kind of deployment should look like or whatever for now, yeah. Anyway.
I haven't seen them beat anybody yet, but they're carrying batons. But they're standing between. I understand, like, there's no good solutions here, but like I just want to say, like, I saw a woman using a walker to advance through tear gas. So I think you can give up on trying to fucking unless you're willing to pull the trigger machine and fire into a crowd or run them over with a truck. I think this is pretty much over and you lost. But it's really hard to take a look at at that video and Lady with the Walker and Alex Preti and all the examples of bravery and kindness from ordinary people in this moment and think about all the fucking cowardice displayed by the elites in Congress and shit. And their corporate leadership. I want to know, like, fucking Tim Apple, Tim Cook, just mm-hmm. Trump called him Tim Apple. Saturday night after Preti was killed, was at a screening of the Melania documentary and took a picture with Brett Ratner. This is a guy who was very public about disagreeing with Donald Trump back in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Cowards, fucking cowards. More money people have, the more afraid they are. Apparently, also want to point out that Minneapolis' biggest corporate citizens. Target, 3M, and Medtronic have been dead silent about all this. I guess it's not ironic in retrospect that Target has gone Vichy. But yeah, one last example of somebody being unafraid. This is a hilarious example of this. Is that this lady who runs a toy store in Minneapolis has been giving out free whistles to whoever wants one to go around letting people know about ICE actions or the federal actions related to immigration enforcement or whatever they're up to. She gave a TV interview about it. And after she did so, her name's Marshall, she says two ICE agents went to the store to hand deliver an audit notice asking for federal employment forms, payroll records, and names of past and present employees. She's like, I have four employees and they're all part-time, they're all citizens, so good fucking luck. But like, ICE doesn't do audits, so I don't know what they're up to. But I just want to point out, this is a woman stubborn enough to own and operate a toy store in 2026. You're not going to fucking run her off. Like, she's taking on Amazon, goddammit. She's not afraid of ICE. I don't know what happens next. I don't think anybody else does. But so many things have seemed like turning points in this era. But I want to quote here from John, a guy named John Mitnick. Quote, I helped to establish DHS in 2002 and 2003 and later had the Homeland Security portfolio as a White House counsel and served as a general counsel to the department. I'm enraged and embarrassed by DHS's lawlessness, fascism, and cruelty. Impeach or remove Trump now. Mitnick was a Senate confirmed Trump choice for general counsel for DHS in Trump's first term.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure this dude was all about like the Patriot Act and Guantanamo Bay and all that, the war in Iraq and all that shit too. Just assuming he probably loved all that stuff, but and that guy's like, this shit is crazy. We need to stop this shit.
He would have written a legal memo justifying opening a kids wing in Gitmo, and he's like, this is too fucking far.
Right. Yeah, right.
As far as the Democrats, like, the only thing they say they have in this is, like, we talked about it on a bonus episode on Friday about, like, how the House had passed the DHS funding bill with doing the rotating villain shit where only seven of them were needed to pass it. The Senate now has to vote on it, and they're saying they won't pass the pass. Like, they're going to, like, they're going to do something to compromise, to have some sort of rules or agreement to pull them out of, like, large-scale urban enforcement or something. And there'll be some compromise where I'll understand it's all they can do, and I'll still fucking yell at them for it. But goddamn, the leadership here. I hope the seven House Democrats who voted to approve ICE funding just before Saturday really enjoyed their fucking phone calls over the weekend. Tom Suozzi, New York State Democratic congressman from New York, he's the one who took his seat back after George Santos was forced out. He was one of the ones that voted for it. And I'll quote here from his statement he put out today. I failed to view the DHS funding vote as a referendum on the illegal and immoral conduct of ICE in Minneapolis. I hear from the anger of many of my constituents, and I take responsibility for that. I know we only have a couple minutes left. I just want to say that the good thing about doing the right thing is that you're never caught flat-footed by reality and updated developments.
Right.
And even if you are, you still fucking have your honor.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, my dad, he ran a construction crew, and he had to testify in court about one of his guys got caught stealing from a job site or something, and the guy's attorney was trying to say my dad was in on it or some shit. And it's just a lesson in, like, how being an honest person works. Not that my dad was, like, a paragon of virtue or anything, but, like, the defense attorney was like, where were you on so-and-so date at so-and-so time? He's like, I don't know, but I wasn't doing that. And he was like, well, how can you say you weren't doing that if you don't remember? He's like, because I wouldn't be at that place doing that. This is that. If you vote to not fund the fascist fucking arm of the Trump administration, if you just don't vote to do that, nothing they do later can come back and redound to your political downfall. And mm-hmm. Now all you're going to get primary challengers, and your only defense is going to be, well, Hakeem Jeffries told me to do it so the rest of the caucus could look good voting against it.
Right. Yep.
Stop playing these fucking games, man.
Yeah, just, right. Be a person. Do something real. Have some integrity or principles, or actually have a stance on something instead of, just toeing the party line and doing just enough to keep getting elected, which is all it seems to actually amount to over there. All right. Thank you all for watching. Appreciate it. Before you go, please check out TreyCrowder.com and check out my upcoming tour dates. Next up is Birmingham, Alabama, Atlanta, Georgia, and then a bunch of other ones after that, all at TreyCrowder.com. You can also check out on the audio feed of this show, you can check out producer Matt's audio exclusive called Good Skews. Certainly nice for a palate cleanser now and then. Good people doing good things, so holler at that. And consider supporting the show on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more, or go to Patreon and search my name. Either way works. $5 a month gets you access to two full-length bonus episodes, including periodic Q&As, we call them, where we answer your questions. But also, as of recently, now, if you're a Patreon member, you get ad-free versions of all the main episodes, too. So consider that. Either way, thanks for watching. As always, hang in there, everybody. We'll see you next time. Love you. Bye. You.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.